We are continuing on with the Joseph story, today reading from Genesis 39, verses 1 to 23, which is pretty much all of chapter 39. Let us hear God's word. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Now then, could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "The Hebrew slave you brought to us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention in anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning, Jack Archibald asked me if
I had been predicting the future with the title of the sermon and the image on the front, one step forward, two steps back, ice, parking lot. It was funny when Jack said it. This past summer, while we were in the UK, one of the things that Grace and I did was to visit Westminster Abbey. I'd been there when I was 10 and didn't have the full appreciation for the building, the place of worship, and the history that is there. I went online the evening before to look to see what it was going to cost us to get in and to see what times it was open, because there are times where it's closed to public. And as I was online, I saw there was an option to buy the tickets in advance, and they were a little cheaper than they were at the gate. So let's save a pound or two. So I bought the tickets. Next morning, we went to Westminster Abbey, and we went through the security tent. Every place in London where the public gathers has security tents. They search every bag. And then we got into line. There were, I figure, about 200 people ahead of us in line, kind of snaked back and forth, waiting to get into Westminster Abbey. And we kind of, And then we commiserated with the people around us about how long it was going to take to get into the church. And then I saw a sign up ahead just a little bit that said, "Advanced ticket holders this way." I thought, well, is that us? So I showed the tickets to a security guard that was passing by. He said, yeah, that's your line over there. So we went over to this other line that had about 20 people ahead of us in line. And we felt bad for all those people left in the long line, but not bad enough to go back and stand there with them. That was one of the few times in my life where the short line actually worked for me, because generally speaking, I get in the wrong line, almost universally. At the grocery store, I look to see which line I think is going to move the best. Inevitably, there's a price check, or they changing out the cashiers, or something happens to make my line slower. Sorry, Grace. And there's other situations as well. There's immigration. Though most airports now have like that really cattle back and forth line to make it even. There was a time I was stopping in Hong Kong for the night. It was either on the way to or from Cambodia, I can't remember which. And there was, you got in a line for a booth, and I got in a line, and it took quite a while to get up to the front. And finally, I was at the front. There was one guy who was at the booth, and I was next to be served. But they decided they needed to question this guy further, so they took him away, which meant the officer in that booth was now gone. And we were told we had to disperse and go into other lines, so had to get to the back of one of the other lines. And don't even about the Queensway. If you are following me, get in another lane, because whatever lane I am in goes the slowest, and you'll do well to change lanes. It is like it is one step forward and two steps back. So often, one step forward, two steps back. And life can be like that, particularly when we are looking at trying to achieve our vision in life. In the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at our vision for our future. We dream about what the future could be, and we dream about what we want it to be, and we make that our vision, and we work towards achieving that vision of our future. We do that as individuals, and we are doing that as a church. And to help us hear God speaking into that, speaking into our visions, we have been looking at the story of Joseph, as we find it in Genesis, the first book in the Bible. Now, for those who have not been here, a very quick recap. Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons, and he was by far his father's favorite. Everybody knew that Joseph was Jacob's favorite. His brothers despised him because he was the favorite. And then Joseph started having dreams that God gave to him that pointed to the vision that God was presenting Joseph for his future. And that vision involved his brothers and even his parents bowing down to him. And his brothers hated him even more, and they wanted to kill him. But instead of killing him, they sold him to a caravan of merchants who were on their way to Egypt. And so Joseph was taken from his home and sold in slavery and then sold again in Egypt. And our Bible reading this morning picks up the story where we had left off. Joseph was sold to Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And over time, and this is probably a couple of years, we need to keep that in mind, over time Potiphar saw a certain quality in Joseph. He saw integrity and loyalty and humility and discipline, and he was skilled at what he did. And so Potiphar gave Joseph more and more responsibility, and as he succeeded in everything that was given to him, Potiphar elevated Joseph more and more until he became the chief servant, or truly the chief slave, in Potiphar's household. After the devastation of being sold into slavery, Joseph God bless him, was on his way back. And then the drama really picks up. Potiphar's wife took note of Joseph as he worked his way up the pecking order. He was young, he was good looking, and she wanted him. Now, as an aside and as a little sub-sermon here, I must note that the narrative of the seductive woman has gotten way too much play in our society down through all of the ages, because it ends up to the point where if a man falls, it's a woman's fault. Well, let's be clear on this. Men fall because of the choices we make. There may be temptation. Everybody's tempted for something. Men fall because of the choices we make. No more, no less. So, men, let's man up and take responsibility for our actions. End of sub-sermon. Back to the story. I mean that, too. Potiphar's unnamed wife wanted Joseph and made it very clear, inviting him into her bed. He was good-looking, he had this foreign quality about him, and he had worked his way up, and he had power in the household, and it probably she wanted to show that she had more power, but she invited him into her bed. Joseph declined the invitation. And this was not just sexual discipline, though it probably was that. Consider Joseph's position. He had Potiphar on his side. If he had Potiphar's wife on his side, he would be pretty much made in that household. No issues at all, assuming they didn't get caught, of course. But Joseph's integrity would not have allowed him to use an inappropriate relationship for him to get ahead. So he said no. One victory, however, does not a war win. And the woman kept trying to seduce him, and Joseph continued to say no. And then one day she upped the ante. There was no one in the house at all, no witnesses. And Joseph came in to do his duties. She grabbed him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." Joseph shrugged off the cloak and ran from the house. God bless Joseph. But now the wife has his cloak in his hand and realizes for sure that she's not going to have her way with him. So she turns the cloak into an accusation of attempted rape. Potiphar was furious when he had heard what had happened. We don't know if he gave Joseph a hearing or a fair hearing at all, but he probably did. Because normally, if a slave had done something like Potiphar's wife had said, the slave would have been killed outright and nobody would have batted an eye. But Potiphar had Joseph thrown into prison. So I have a sense that Potiphar must have at least wondered what had happened. But there he is. Now Joseph is imprisoned. And the roller coaster ride that was Joseph's life continued. Favored son, down to slave. Then he works his way up to head of household, not quite as high as favored son. But then he ends up a slave in prison. You don't get lower than a slave in prison. But Joseph continued to be himself. And while in prison, it was not long before the prison warden saw the same qualities in Joseph that Potiphar had seen. And the warden gave Joseph responsibilities and more responsibilities as he succeeded with them. And he gave him the responsibility of being basically the chief prisoner, if there is such a title. God had given Joseph a dream, and that dream pointed to the vision that God had for Joseph, the future that God was planning for Joseph, that involved his brothers and parents bowing down to him. And when he was sold as a slave, that vision fell off the rails. There was no way that vision could be realized, right? But then Joseph had worked his way up in Potiphar's household. He was doing well. Could God use that somehow for the vision that he had planned? But then there was the false accusation that was made against him and his imprisonment. And again, the vision was off the rails. And being chief prisoner is not going to cause anyone to bow down to him. For Joseph, it was one step forward and two steps back. Each and every time. And life often looks like that. We gain a bit of ground only to lose it and then lose a bit more. And that can be particularly true when we are trying to live out the vision that God has given to us, or to live out the vision that we believe to be in God's will. Failing a class that you need to achieve your vision. Being let go from a job that you think is the one that will help you reach the vision. A relationship ending you thought was it that was part of your vision. One step forward and two steps back. And that's so true of Joseph. It was like every time he gained a bit, he was beaten back down, starting from scratch, frequently starting from farther back than he had been before. But all through this, all through Joseph's roller coaster life, there was a fact that I have not yet mentioned. It was in the passage we read, and it was repeated four times through the passage. In Scripture, if something is repeated even once, it's something that we need to take note of. But here, there were four times this was said in that passage. Did you hear it? Did you notice it as we read? Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, the Lord was with him. That is Joseph. Verse 21, the Lord was with him. Joseph. Verse 23, the Lord was with Joseph. Repeated four times. We have to take note of that. The Lord was with Joseph. It's key to this passage and key to Joseph's story. Joseph's story was about living real faith in the midst of real life. And that is also true of us. We live out real faith in the midst of a very real world, in the midst of our very real lives. And there's tension in that. There's tension in living out faith in this world. And because the world is what it is, there are risks for those who follow Jesus. I mean, there's risks for everyone, but there are some particular risks for those who follow Jesus in striving to live a life of faith. There is the risk of deceit. Joseph experienced that, where the world is full of lies. Fake news is a thing. There's temptation to be had, temptation to take the easy path. That was even one of the temptations presented to Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, to take the easy way instead of God's way. There's the temptation to give up integrity for the sake of expediency. How often does that happen? We just have to deny the integrity of our keeping our word, and something can be so much easier or so much faster. There is the risk of the temptation of giving up integrity for expediency's sake. There's the risk of seduction, and not just sexual, certainly it can be, but there is the risk of being seduced to leave the path that God has put us on for something shiny and new. But it is real faith lived out in real life. And that four times repeated truth for Joseph is true for us as well. The Lord is with you. In Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord is with you. When life is great and everything is going your way, the Lord is with you. When life is falling apart before your very eyes, the Lord is with you. When life is a roller coaster where you don't know from day to day whether it's going to be up or down, the Lord is with you. When you feel His nearness, the Lord is with you. And when you cannot perceive God anywhere, anyhow, He is with you. The Lord is with you, no matter what it might look like. And Joseph is brilliant evidence of that. In just a moment, we will be coming to the Lord's table. It is the sacrament, the action that we do in the church that helps us not only to remember, but somehow to enter into the fact that Jesus saves us, that He forgives us our sin, that He gives us hope, and that He gives us life, even eternal life. But more than that, this sacrament also helps us to remember and even enter into the fact that the Lord is with us always. So this morning, if you receive, when you receive, remember that the Lord is with you. As you take the bread and eat it, may that be a proclamation to you that the Lord is with you. As you take the cup and drink it, may it scream out to your soul that the Lord is with you. Because my sisters and brothers, even when life is a roller coaster, even when life is one step forward and one step back, the Lord is with you. Let's pray together. Our loving, holy, wonderful God, we thank You for Your presence in our lives, Your presence promised even when we don't know it or feel it or experience it. And we thank You for Your ongoing promise of Your ongoing presence with us always, that You do not leave us or forsake us. Lord, we thank You that in the roller coaster that is our lives, You are with us. Lord, we thank You that when it is one step forward and two steps back, that You are with us. Help us to trust You, Father, in the roller coaster. Help us to trust You in one step forward and two back. Help us to trust You to see us through to the vision that You have given to us, the vision that You have blessed over us, that we might do Your will, that we might be where You want us to be in the future that You have in store for us. Our God, today we pray for the people of Venezuela and the trauma that is being experienced there because of the wreck of the economy, because of an oppressive regime in power. We pray for righteousness and justice to be realized in Venezuela for the people. And we pray for help to be allowed in. We pray for all those who suffer because of injustice and oppression. Lord, we pray for our city. We pray for Ottawa and the need that is in here, needs of poverty, needs of addiction, needs of meaning, and needs of fellowship. We pray, Lord, that You would use the churches of this city to reach into this city, to call to this city, to come to You. And use us, Lord. Use even us. And God, we pray Your blessing upon Norma Taylor. We pray that You would continue to uphold her and bless her and be powerfully present with Your grace and Your healing. And Lord, we pray Your comfort upon Kim Harum in the death of her mom. We pray that You would grant her Your grace, Your comfort, and Your hope. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Jim Clemens, known to some here, We pray for your healing and grace upon him because of the stroke that he has had. And we pray for all those, Lord, in our midst, those whom we know, family members, friends, those far off who have real need of your grace. And our God, all these prayers we offer to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.